Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am indeed Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to be with you, no matter how you're listening to us, whether that be on Breadbox Media, Evangelism Radio, or right here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I am so blessed today to be joined by Basil Dannenbaum. He is the founder of the Society of Our Lady Healer of Hearts, and we're going to spend some time talking about his ministry today, but a little bit of about him first. Over the course of his career, he has been a writer, a speaker, a consultant, and also served briefly in the Kansas State House of Representatives. Today, he remains sought after as an advisor, a straightforward life coach, and a candid counselor. Basil enjoys a semi-cloistered life, which we're going to talk about. He enjoys observing a certain amount of enclosure for the sake of the contemplative life, but he is not strictly cloistered. He does spend the majority of his time writing and reflecting, and does venture out for the occasional outing, shopping necessary appointments, and speaking engagements. So, Basil, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
It's my pleasure to be here, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, Basil, I want to hear about your story because, you know, I skipped some of the key components to leave you to tell us. You know, in the bio, because you've got an incredible story. So talk with us a little bit about your journey of faith and some of the health issues and things going on.
Sure. It's interesting how God takes people full circle, isn't it?
It is.
I grew up Catholic, very devout Catholic family, went through Catholic education all of my life. And, you know, I think that I was very fortunate. I would never trade that for anything. Through my career, there were times where I felt a bit outcast from the church. I felt like there was a brief period when I was a young adult where it was what's the word I'm looking for? There was a lot of judgment cast upon people who weren't of a certain cloth in the church, I guess you could say. I was discerning my vocation, and I was looking at different religious orders. Some of them wore the habit, some of them didn't. But what was striking to me was that there were among some of my young-aged friends that, you know, all of a sudden, if you went a certain route with a certain religious order, you weren't Catholic because that group may not have worn a habit. And I got very discouraged by that division. And I'll admit, I stepped away from the church. I went to the Greek Orthodox Church, which I still, again, would not trade for anything in the world. It was through Orthodoxy that I discovered a brilliant component of Christianity that I probably never would have experienced had I not gone that route. Being able to discern my vocation in the East made me realize that, in fact, I longed to return home to the Catholic faith, and also realized that we have a very rich Byzantine Catholic heritage within our faith, which offers us the best of that ancient tradition within the fullness of the faith. So in my homecoming, as I call it, or my reversion,
yes,
I was pleased to come back and to see, you know, myself as a different person, though still incomplete. And that's where my career probably got the most intriguing. I was marketing, public relations, fundraising for nonprofits, did a lot of work within media, a lot of work with television, newspapers, radio, international trade shows, and all of it was absolutely incredible. The opportunities I got, whether it was box seats for NBA playoff games or backstage passes to concerts or, you know, these great perks of being in marketing and public relations, because, you know, there are a lot of really fun perks that come with that. There was still that feeling of being incomplete. I decided that it was probably, you know, that time to keep praying, and returned back to my home state of Kansas, where I was urged and urged and urged to serve in the House of Representatives. I had a friend, a great friend of mine, who was running for a higher office, and he asked personally if I would run for his seat. And it did take a lot of twisting of the arm to get me to run for that seat. I did a lot of public service throughout my career. And so to the average onlooker, and admittedly to me, it only made sense to do what looked like, at first glance, the ultimate form of public service, running for office. I ran unopposed and won the seat, and it did not take long. It did not take long at all to recognize that it takes a very special person to serve as an elected official. I have all the admiration in the world for our elected officials. It's an often thankless job. Those who begin as your friends quickly become your enemies. I was intrigued at a couple weeks of being in office, how quickly people just suddenly abandon you. And luckily, here in the state of Kansas, right across the street from the Capitol building is a Catholic church, and they offer daily mass at noon. Which was a blessing, because that's kind of a nice, it's interesting to me that when you'd leave the Capitol, you'd hear all the noise and the echo of the rotunda and the lobbyists and the tourists and everything. And then you go over and you sit waiting for mass to begin in silence. And that was a beautiful thing. But as you mentioned, Bill, I do have young onset Parkinson's, and in my health was struggling from the stress. I would find that there were certain issues that the Catholic social justice teachings that I grew up with. I had some wonderful nuns. The Adorers of the Blood of Christ taught me in elementary school and in college, and the Capuchin Franciscan friars taught me in high school. And, you know, you learn to love the ecology. You learn to love all people, that we're a pilgrim people. And there were certain things that I would discover. You know, I was noticing that, you know, a lot of my so-called pro-life colleagues who were, in fact, pro-birth, they supported the death penalty. And a lot of times, you know, I found myself confused with that. I thought, how are we putting out that we're pro-life if we support the death penalty? That doesn't make sense to me. So through a lot of prayer, a lot of consulting with a couple of friends of mine who are bishops, it became obvious to me that, A, the health didn't need this sort of lifestyle, but B, I was not able. While some can do it well, I was simply not able to serve two masters because my politics was, I guess you could say, too undefined by party lines. You couldn't really put. They always said I was a wild card because indeed I was a wild card. If this was an issue that had to do with the right to life, you bet I would vote strongly in support. But if this was an issue that dealt with something that would contradict my Catholic social teaching on another matter, I wouldn't always vote with the party. And I just realized that it was probably best for me to step out of that arena and really reevaluate life. And it started there. I took some time to regroup. My health was not great when I left at all. I was really fatigued because one thing about it, members of the House and the Senate, and they put in a lot of long hours, and it goes well beyond just being in the Capitol building. There's a lot of community forums, all sorts of things they do. And for a guy with young onset Parkinson's, that wore me down. So time to rest it was. And I left and I never regretted it. And I never looked back. I just decided, God bless those who this is for. Not for me. I don't need it.
Wonderful. A wonderful, amazing story, amazing journey. And in the second half of the interview, what we'll do is we'll talk about how this has really led you to a contemplative lifestyle or semi-cloistered contemplative lifestyle, and the founding of this beautiful ministry, the Society of Our Lady Healer of Hearts. There's so much going on with this ministry. It has got some of the most recognizable names in Catholicism working with you as well, which is awesome. I mean, this is just an incredible ministry and one that's close to our hearts here at Patchwork Heart Ministry. So we have to take a short break here, Basil, but when we come back, we'll talk with you all about the Society of Our Lady of Healer of Hearts and the rest of your spiritual journey. So right back after these messages on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back here to Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder. It is a pleasure to have you with us, no matter how you're listening today. Today, I'm talking with the founder of the Society of Our Lady Healer of Hearts, Basil Dannenbaum. He is just got an incredible journey of faith and was really highlighting that for us in the first half of the interview. But you left us off right where, you know, you decided to exit politics in the Kansas State House of Representatives and kind of enter into a semi-cloistered lifestyle. What was that like for you? How was that transition? I mean, you mentioned it was kind of needed, but what does that look like for you on a day-to-day basis?
And you don't always know it's needed either. I started thinking that immediately after I would regroup after politics rest and do some work promoting Parkinson's disease. I've realized that was, you know, there are plenty of great groups that are doing that. They sure as heck don't need the likes of me out there. You know, gave my best shot to speak on those things and really feeling a bit like a failure, you know, not being able to keep up with the grind of politics, not being able to really go out and do these magnificent things on behalf of Parkinson's awareness. And looking back at what a wonderful career I enjoyed, ultimately, you know, before returning home and going into this, what I perceived as a life of service. So I did. I distanced myself. I put myself into a quiet lifestyle. And quiet can be healthy and quiet can be unhealthy. And I've experienced both. In the unhealthy silence, you know, when you think about Christ in the desert and the temptations that came his way, he was able to thwart those off, and not everybody can do that. And I was realizing that in the unhealthy quiet, I found myself depressed. I found myself, quite frankly, on a downward spiral. I mean, my life was just, there was nothing fruitful left to look for. I did not enjoy getting up every day. Really just didn't care. It was darkness. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, this is, you know, what's left? What is there for me? I have turned to everything of this earth that I can possibly think of, and nothing is filling me. And then it occurred to me that, well, obviously, you know, you grew up with great Catholic education. You experienced the Christian prayer of the East. You realize that this is not of this earth that you need to seek. It's well beyond. You need to go to prayer, and particularly to our Blessed Lady. And so I did. I found myself praying and searching for answers of why I was not feeling content, and kept hearing, God's not done with you yet. And I would hear it in prayer and through others. A lot of other people would say, oh, God's not finished with you yet. And after what I had been through, of course, you laughed. And I go, yeah, right. That is great for you to say. That's like giving somebody an A for effort when they colored outside the lines, you know. It's thanks, but yeah. Anyway, I realized that, you know, I was reflecting a lot on Our Lady and on Divine Mercy, on the Immaculate Heart and on the Sacred Heart. And one of my biggest problems, and where I found the most darkness and the fact that I stopped really caring much for life, was that, A, I couldn't forgive myself for things that had burdened me, and B, I couldn't forgive those who had hurt me. And I needed to. I needed to experience that forgiveness, because it was essential. And I realized that you can't forgive others and love others until you forgive yourself and love yourself. So that came first. Through that process, I was still, you know, watching the headlines and reading the posts and realized we live in such a divided society. Division is everywhere. It is not just in government. It's not just in church. It's in our daily lives. We are in the midst of conflict and division in our society. And I think that, you know, I am not the only one who needed a healing of hearts. And I just kept thinking of Our Lady saying, you know, you've seen my son's Sacred Heart and he's shown you his divine mercy. I've shown you my beautiful Immaculate Heart. Here, take this heart and make this one your own so that you can unite your healed heart with my son's heart and my heart and truly appreciate the divine mercy. Through that, I felt, you know, that's something you really shouldn't keep to yourself. And I decided to form a prayer group. And we're very simple ministry, the Society of Our Lady Healer of Hearts. Our work is simple. We pray that our own hearts be healed and be love, and we pray that the hearts of others be healed and be love, because it seems we have distanced ourselves from that. And I get emails from people saying, why aren't there more groups dedicated to prayer, that their sole focus is prayer? And while I, you know, there's one, there's many, there's hundreds. You just got to find the right one that fits within your calling in life at that point. So then came the silence that I came to appreciate, the Sirt life, where now I spend my time in bright silence instead of dark silence, where I have the opportunity to pray each day to Our Lady and to answer prayer requests that come through our website. We have a website, www.OurLadyHealerOfHearts.com. And on that website, people can unite their prayers with us by joining us. There's no cost to join. You just pledge to pray that hearts be healed, or you can send in prayer requests. And now in this silence that I have, this semi-cloistered lifestyle, as we call it, it's bright, it's beautiful, it's rich, it's flourishing. And it's just amazing what happens when you open yourself up to God's will and what Our Lady has in store for you. You find that that even quiet times, they're perhaps the most beautiful time that you get, is that quiet stillness where you can just listen to our Lord and our Lady and let them guide your heart and heal your heart.
You know, this is so needed in our society and culture today. Slow down, take a break from all the noise that's going on out there. You know,
a lot of it everywhere.
Right, and so you have a physical place, and you also have this beautiful statue that's being created. And you know, off the air, you've shared me on Facebook this half finished statue of Our Lady of Healer of Hearts, and what an incredible piece of work this is, and what an incredible expression of art. You want to talk just a little bit about that statue and that type of display of it? It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, that's putting your money where your mouth is, isn't it? When you decide that you want to commission a statue of a Marian title that you've kind of conjured up through prayer. A gentleman named Gregor Meusner, who resides in Italy, is carving it. He's considered one of the finest sculptors in the Catholic Church. He's going to be carved entirely of wood. He did a custom sculpture of Mary for a gentleman that I think many people who are listening probably know, St. John Paul II, commissioned Mr. Meusner in 1998 to make a beautiful sculpture of Mary of Nazareth. So he's got quite a number of awards, and he's incredible. The statue is about 45 inches tall, but in addition to that, it sits in my private chapel at the house. We have a lady who is just finishing this week painting a 24 by 36 of Our Lady Healer of Hearts that will be a half pose. So you'll see, and with the statue, we see her full pose, and in the painting, we have her half. And within the chapel, there's also a hand-painted 18 by 24 of the Divine Mercy. And there are 5 by 7 paintings of different saints included. There's 12 different saints that have Marian connections. Juan Diego, the Three Children of Fatima, Catherine Labouré, Maximilian Kolbe, Padre Pio. I don't need to name them all, but so the chapel is a really special place. And this September, the statue will arrive in August, and in September, we're going to have a dedication ceremony to have the statue blessed and sort of dedicate the sacred space to Our Lady Healer of Hearts. And we're really looking forward to that. So with every update we get on that statue, it just and it does. It goes from looking like a block of wood to a sort of like if you had cataracts looking at a statue. And this morning's first glimpse at her really starting to take definition. So the sculptor is about halfway there. She'll be painted and gilded, and it'll be breathtaking. So we're looking forward to that moment. Needless to say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to find out a little bit about how people, you know, because you have amazing people who work with you. You have,
you know,
Anna Nuzzo. You have all kinds of great people who, you know, work with you on this society. How do people get involved with the ministry? You know, I mean, you mentioned getting on the website and, you know, signing up there, but how do they get more involved with this? Because I think this is going to be a bigger calling than just, you know, reaching out and praying for people.
Great question. You know, I've said before, our spiritual advisory council, we could run a bookstore just off the books that were written by some of the members of that council. And if you go to our website, you can see Father Ed Looney, Dr. Carrie Gress, who wrote this excellent The Marian Option book. What we're preparing to do is really after our dedication in September, we're going to start getting this message of Our Lady Healer of Hearts more out there. And for people who sign on with us now, who join our team, we're really going to be working with them between now and September to develop evangelization, to develop methods in which we can take this out into the world. We do locally here. Anna's going to be doing a concert here. We've had different priest members of our advisory commission come and talk. We do retreats, but we need to take that elsewhere. We need to get that out there. That can't be done by the likes of me and my advisory board alone. We really need people who are interested in getting this message that, you know, our hearts need to be healed of division, and Our Lady can do that. We need them. So anytime somebody signs up, they do get a personal message from me, and I ask them kind of what they'd like their level of involvement to be. Maybe it's simply praying. That's personally speaking, that's my method, is I'd love to be behind the scenes just praying quietly. For now, however, I've got to bring this, you know, to the people. So I have to step out of that comfort zone for a little bit. But those who really want to take on a more active approach, all they need to do is ask. And believe me, they are welcomed with open arms.
Awesome, awesome stuff. It's hard to believe we're running out of time here, Basil. It's not hard. The Holy Spirit always makes these things feel like they go faster than they really than they do. But I want to just ask you one more time just about getting involved as far as the website. So it's Our Lady Healer of Hearts .com, right? Our Lady Healer of Hearts .com.
One word.
All one word. And you also on Facebook. And so, jump in there as well. It's just very simply facebook.com/Our Lady Healer of Hearts. You can find
That's
it
right
away. Anything else that I am missing that you need to tell our audience? It has been a pleasure talking to you today. I wish we had more time.
The simple message for your audience is pray for us. We all are sinners. We all are people who are needing prayer, and pray for us that our hearts may be healed and that our ministry may be worthy of God. We need your prayers.
Awesome. Basil, thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your ministry with me here today on Young Catholics Respond. I know our listeners will be blessed, and we encourage you all to check out Our Lady Healer of Hearts .com. So thanks so much, Basil.
Thank you very much.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program, or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.